అదావూచర్గే విష్ణుస్థితో క్రదు పదిర్జ ధర్మ సేతు విష్ణుస్థితో క్రదు పదిర్జ ధర్మ సేతు రుద్రోక్తయ తమసా పురుషస్ ఆద్యా స్థితిలయా సదతా ప్రజాసు ఆదౌ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ అభూ హీ బికేమ్ శతాధతి లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మా రజస బై ద మెటీరియల్ మోడ్ ఆఫ్ ప్యాషన్ Asya, of this universe, Sarge, in the creation. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Pitav, in maintenance. Kratupati, the Lord of Sacrifice. Dvija, of the twice-born Brahmana. Dharma, of the religious beauty. Setu, the protector. Rudra, Lord Shiva. Apyayaya, for annihilation. Samasa, by the mode of ignorance. Purushaha, the supreme person. Saha, he. Adya, original. Iti, thus. Udbhava Siddhi Layaha. Creation, maintenance and destruction. Satatam. Always. Prajasu. Among created beings. Let's go to the prayer. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ ద ఒరిజినల్ సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ మ్యానిఫెస్టెడ్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ through the material mode of passion in order to create this universe. The Lord manifested His form as Vishnu, the Lord of sacrifice and protector of the twice-born Brahmana and the religious duty to maintain the universe. And when the universe is to be annihilated, the same Supreme Lord employs the material mode of ignorance and manifests the form of Rudra. The created living beings are thus always subject to the forces of creation, maintenance and destruction. Read again. In the beginning, the original Supreme Personality manifested the form of Brahma through the material mode of passion in order to create this universe. The Lord manifested His form as Vishnu, the Lord of sacrifice and protector of the twice-born Brahmana and the religious duties to maintain the universe. And when the universe is to be annihilated, the same Supreme Lord employs the material mode of ignorance and manifests the form of Rudra. The created living beings are thus always subject to the forces of creation, maintenance and destruction. So, we can repeat the Friday. In the beginning,
the original Supreme Personality
manifested the form of Brahma through the material mode of passion in order to create this universe. The Lord manifested His form as Vishnu, the Lord of sacrifice and protector of twice-born Brahmana and their religious duties to maintain the universe. And when the universe is to be annihilated, the same Supreme Lord
Thanks to you, Lord.
Employs the material mode of ignorance.
Employs the material mode of ignorance.
And manifests the form of Rudra.
And manifests the form of Rudra.
The created living beings.
The created living beings.
Are thus always subject to.
The
forces of creation, maintenance and destruction.
Forces of creation, maintenance and destruction.
Another purpose. In the previous verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has described as Adi Karta, the original person responsible for creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material world. According to Sridhara Swami, Adi Karta or the original doer implies subsequent creation, maintenance and annihilation. Otherwise, there will be no meaning to the word Adi or original. Therefore, this verse describes that the absolute truth expands himself into the Gunavatar or incarnation who carry out the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the universe through the mode of passion, goodness and ignorance respectively. It is significant here that although this verse mentions creation through the material mode of passion and annihilation through the material mode of ignorance, it does not mention maintenance by Vishnu through the material mode of goodness. This is because Vishnu is Vishuddha Sattva or existing on the platform of unlimited transcendental goodness. Although Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are somewhat affected by their prescribed duties and superintendence of the material modes of nature, Lord Vishnu is Vishuddha Sattva, completely beyond contamination even by the material mode of goodness. As described in the Vedas, Natasya Kayam Karanam Chavidyate, the Lord has no occupation duty, whereas Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are understood to be servants of the Lord. Vishnu is completely transcendental. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Vishnu is described in this verse as Pasupati, the Lord of Sacrifice, is understood to have appeared in previous age as the incarnation Suyajna, the son of Prajapati Niji. Whereas Brahma and Shiva faithfully engage in service to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Vishnu is the Supreme Lord himself, and therefore his activities of maintaining the Brahmas and religious principles, as mentioned in the verse Vijaya Dharma Seru, are not occupational duties but Leela. So, in addition to being a Gunavatar, Vishnu is also a Vidavatar, according to Srila Jiva Goswami. The Mahabharata Shanti Parva describes the birth of Lord Brahma from the lotus flower emanating from Vishnu and the subsequent birth of Lord Shiva from the angry eyes of Lord Brahma. Vishnu, however, is a self-manifested personality of Godhead who enters the material universe by his own internal potency, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.15. Tad Loka Padmam Sahu Eva Vishnu Pravavacha Sarva Gunavabhasam. In conclusion, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Controller whose personal form is full of eternal existence, knowledge and bliss, who is beginningless but is the beginning of everything, who is known as Govinda, and who is the original cause of all cause, as stated in Brahma Samhita. Still, the same eternal Lord manifests himself as Brahma and Shiva in the sense that the primary controller, Brahma and Shiva, manifest the potency and supreme will of the Lord, although they themselves are not supreme. ॐ ज्ञानतिव्रान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाखया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदाम्बिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते.
తప్త కాంచన గోరంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత శ్రీవాసాది గోవర్ధనవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
The first part of this verse shows that the position of Krishna or Vishnu in comparison to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. But usually we understand that there are three guna avatars. One is Lord Vishnu, Brahma and Lord Shiva. However, the position of Vishnu is completely different from that of Shiva and Brahma. It is said one time Bhrigumuni wanted to test, or all the sages was in confusion. Who is the actual Supreme Lord? Is it Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma or Lord Vishnu? So the sages appointed Bhrigumuni as their representative and devised a means by which they can test who is the Supreme. So what they did was, first they went up to Lord Brahma, and Bhrigumuni is actually the son of Lord Brahma, one of the sons of Lord Brahma. So he went up to Lord Brahma and he started offending Lord Brahma within the mind. So he thought bad about Lord Brahma. Just after hearing that, Lord Brahma became quite angry and he wanted to curse Bhrigumuni. However, he thought, okay, after all, he is my son, so I shouldn't do that. In that way, Bhrigumuni was saved from the curse and Lord Brahma just forgave. Then, to test Lord Shiva, he went up to Lord Shiva and he offended Lord Shiva by words. So he started actually offending him, blaspheming him on his face. And by that, Lord Shiva got really offended. And he was about to kill Bhrigu. When he was about to go, Mother Parvati came and told Lord Shiva, you shouldn't do that. After all, both of you, Lord Shiva as well as Bhrigumuni, they are sons of Lord Brahma. So, you know, he's your brother and you shouldn't punish him in this way. It's not fair. So, Lord Shiva came back to his senses and he didn't do anything. He forgave again. So, these two tests, after it was over, Bhrigumuni went up to Lord Vishnu and he was lying on the cocoa cushion and he placed his feet on the Lord's chest.
Kick him.
Okay. So it's full. So it's a heavy offense. One was by mind, one of the offense was by action, sorry, the word and then by action. However, Lord Vishnu was not at all offended. He came up and asked, oh, my chest is so, you know, so thick, you know, it's very hard. Your feet might have, you know, hurt by this. So from this, actually, Bhrigumuni came to a conclusion, the original position of Vishnu. It wasn't Krishna again, it was Vishnu. So Vishnu is in Vishuddha Sattva, meaning he is above the mode of ignorance, passion and the material mode of goodness. So, as mentioned in this verse, when it was mentioned about Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, it was clearly given that Lord assumed the form of passion and started creation by assuming the form of Lord Brahma. Whereas, in case of Shiva, it's in the mode of ignorance. Whereas, when it comes to Vishnu, there is no mode of goodness is mentioned in this verse. It shows he is not just in the goodness, but it is Vishuddha Sattva. Even Lord Shiva says about the Vishuddha Sattva is a term actually used to represent the position of the Supreme Lord who is above the three modes of material nature, as well as the consciousness in which one can understand the Supreme Lord. So Lord Shiva says, Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. That is, the Satvam, the Vishuddha Satva or the Vasudeva consciousness is the actual Krishna consciousness in which the Supreme Lord can be revealed. It is said, Yatra Kumar Apavrate. The Supreme Lord is uncovered in this consciousness. And as mentioned here, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are controllers of the mode of good passion and ignorance. However, sometimes they are affected by these material modes because they are not completely above these modes. Whereas the Supreme Lord is like, you know, there is no reason for him to appear in this world. To take the position of Vishnu, he doesn't need any reason. For him it's Leela. In one sense he is Gunavata, for he is assuming the mode of goodness for maintenance in one sense. However, his activities are just pastimes. It is just Leela. It is out of his sweet will. There is no occupational duty associated with him. So it is said, na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, na tasama cha api atikasya drishyate. Parasya Shakti Vividheva Shuyate Swabhavagi Jnana Balakriyacha. That is, for him there is no occupational duty and there is no real reason for him to appear in this world. And there is no one equal to him, neither anyone greater than him. And he is manifesting his multifarious potencies. That is, Parasya Shakti Vividheva Shuyate. That is, Shakti, his potencies are multifarious. And those potencies are always there with him. And so, the entry set is that Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyata. Swabhaviki means natural for him. Jnana, knowledge, and Bala, strength, and his activities. All his great activities are quite natural to him. He doesn't need any training. It is like, if we come to the material world, we don't know anything actually. First we are sent to, you know, kindergarten or, you know, school and, you know, taught something out. We don't know, practically we know nothing. And then we are getting trained in so many different things. That's how we get knowledge. Even the great scientists, they also start from, you know, learning A, B, C, you know, all those things. Because the training is essential for anyone. However, for the Supreme Lord, he has all the knowledge. Because even the Veda, which is the source of all knowledge, is emanating from his mouth. So, you know, he doesn't need any kind of training. And Bala, the strength, Krishna, you know, never practiced, you know, weightlifting to lift Govardhan Hill. You know, he just carried the Govardhan Hill. And no, you know, he was not a practitioner of any wrestling or anything. When he met, you know, with Shanvara, Mustiga, you know, they were expert wrestlers. He was just, you know, just killing them. No problem. Because for him, all these potencies are natural. Because these potencies are ultimately emanating from him. And he is always characterized by, you know, the softness of his feet. Actually, when Brahma, after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, when he appeared in front of Lord Krishna, and when he started prayers, the first prayer he says, Lakshmashriye Mrudupade Pashupangajaya. That is, you are characterized by beauty of your soft feet. So, in one sense, Krishna's feet is very beautiful, and it is very, you know, very, very soft. But at the same time, when he just kicks with that feet, you know, he can kill demons. So it is, one side it is very soft and the other side is very hard. You know, when he was lying and when he was kicking Chakatasu, you know, it was like just a baby kick, you know, just like this. And the whole card demon was collapsed, finished. So this contradiction exists in the Supreme Lord, and he managed that very beautifully, this contradiction of having the full strength, you know, have at the same time having showing, you know, I am so weak. The same boat in the same side. And the Supreme Lord, feet is considered very important. Even though we say, you know, the old Angani Yashya Sakarendriya Vrittimanti, that is, all these indriyas, all these senses have equal potency. All the limbs can act interchangeably. However, devotees always approach the lotus feet of the lotus. It's very interesting. And there are few reasons for that. One is, if you say the glory of the lotus feet of the Lord, we understand, as it said, the lotus feet of the Lord is the boat by which one can cross over the ocean of material existence, as it is said in the Padam Padam verse, Padam Padam Navipadam Dadesha. And on the other side, it is like an umbrella. Demigod says in their prayer, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is just like an umbrella which can shield the threefold misery. It's like an umbrella house can contract with the rain and the sun and the heat and everything. In the same way, the lotus feet of the Lord can actually contract the threefold miseries. In fact, Lakshmi Devi is sitting on the chest of Lord Narayan. However, she says, you know, Lord Narayan, she doesn't pay so much of attention to me. However, see the beautiful position of Tulsi Devi, because she is residing at the lotus feet of the Lord, and her position is much superior to that of mine. This is the opinion of Lakshmi Devi, because she is able to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And for the devotee, lotus feet is a shelter, and it represents, it shows our humility to approach and surrender and worship the lotus feet of the Lord. So whenever we take darshan, we start from the lotus feet, because it shows our humility. It's like when we read Bhagavatam, it said in the first canto of the Bhagavatam is the lotus feet of the Lord. So we start reading from the first canto, because that shows our humility. Step by step we go to the higher path of Bhagavatam as well as the Supreme Lord. And in this verse, another very important point mentioned here is the last line, the created living beings are thus always subject to the forces of creation, maintenance and destruction. So this is very interesting statement, because if you see how these forces are acting on everyone, it's quite amazing. If you see on a cosmic level, if you consider the cosmic manifestation, there is this cosmic creation where the Supreme Lord expands himself as Karnataka Chai Vishnu. It can be quite far out for the layman. If you speak to materialist, the creation part, it is quite far out. It's difficult to understand and difficult to access. So in the creation, the Lord appears himself as Karnataka Chai Vishnu, or the Vishnu who is lying in the coastal ocean, the Karna ocean. And from him, when he sleeps, he's in Yoga Nidra, he's sleeping. But from his four holes of his body, universes are emanating. Just like the mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. So many universes are coming out. And all this thing is happening when Lord Vishnu is sleeping. So for us, when we are sleeping, it is difficult, only just dreams, just hallucinations happen. However, for Vishnu, the whole creation is happening while he is in Yoga Nidra. Or it means it's not ordinary Nidra. And from there, in each universe, there is Garbhataka Chai Vishnu. And for him, what he does? He filters half the universe with water. And in that water, he lies down. So it's again interesting, because he is creating, for us the perspiration comes out of body, but from his perspiration it's like Garbhataka ocean is coming. And it is filling half the world. And in that he is lying down on the Ananta cage. And from his navel, the lotus flower comes, sprouts, and in that lotus flower, Lord Brahma takes birth. So the whole material universe is actually in the stem of this lotus flower. So all the 14 planetary systems are in the stem. So it's not outside, it is within the stem of this lotus flower. And for Brahma also had to perform some austerity to start creation. As I said, everyone needs some kind of training except the Supreme Lord. So Brahma had to do tapa, because he heard this word tapa, meaning perform. Now you perform austerity. Tapa means austerity. So he had to perform austerity to start to understand how to do the creation, because he was seeing just darkness. It means he was seeing nothing. And he tried all this, his own endeavor to understand what to do, but he couldn't. Then he had to approach the bona fide method, which was tapa, the austerity in devotional service. by which he could understand what to do next. Then he manifested the whole, you know, the whole material manifestation as a secondary creator. And the third expansion of the personalization is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is situated in everyone's heart and who does the maintenance job. So he gives knowledge by which everyone can act. Mata, Prithi, Jnana, Apokanamcha. So from him, knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness comes. Without that, there is no possibility of maintenance. So he is situated everywhere. Within the matter, within the living entities, everywhere he is there. And you can see, especially in South India, if you go, you can see so many temples of, you know, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Just, I haven't seen many in, you know, North India, a lot of Krishna temples are there in North India, but South India, there is a mixture. So many temples are there for Krishna as well, but quite a few temples are for Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, where Vishnu is a huge deity, you know, it's like, you know, the deity is somewhat like, you know, the three altars put together, big one. And big Ananta shape is there. And if you see hands of Lord Vishnu, it's like, you know, the huge, you know, like this. And there are no lights in the temples because they don't allow in soul, only key lamps are allowed within the altar. So we can see everything, you know, so nicely. So they will take the ghee lamp and show like that. So we can see. So in that, you know, big Ananta Shesh and Vishnu with his, you know, huge nose like that. And from his navel, a lot of blood is coming. And in that, you know, Brahma is sitting. And his feet, huge feet, you know, it's a different altogether, you know, if you see the deity like that. It's there in Srirangam, it's there in Trivandrum. And all these temples Mahaprabhu have visited. And Mahaprabhu glorified these deities. But it is different. Here when we worship Krishna, you know, it's completely different from, you know, seeing Vishnu, even though the manifestation as such is huge. Here the worship is much more sweeter than you can really feel when you see, you know, the big deities, you know, the worship with a quite a different mood altogether, and without so much of decoration. When you see the Lord here, it's much sweeter. It's much different as well. And on a cosmic level, annihilation is performed by Lord Shiva. You know, he dances. And then the whole jiva, they all merge into the body of Mahavishnu. And at the same time, all the material elements, both gross and subtle, it wind up into Mahatattva. So the whole cosmic manifestation is annihilated. And for the maintenance, as we are describing, Lord Vishnu takes care in the form of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So in all these three forms, we can see the living entities are forced. Living entities doesn't have any choice much. They have to go through the process of creation, they have to go through the process of maintenance and destruction. However, it is a very difficult concept to understand because it's quite far out if you think about it. Still, we can see in our day-to-day life also, it's full of, you know, the creation, maintenance and destruction, whatever we think. It is mentioned that the creation of human beings, Brahma actually added a little bit extra passion into the human beings. So we can see human beings are hyperactive. Now they create so many things, you know. When you see so many buildings, you know, if you see the history, you know, there was initially the agriculture revolution, there was the machine revolution, you know, industrial revolution, now the IT revolution, you know. In all these stages, people are inventing so many things, you know, discovering so many things. And they are coming up with so many things. Now we have, you know, the iPod, you know, iPhone, iMac, you know, iMac, you know, so many things. So many creations. Because the living entities are in the mode of passion, in the sense of the human beings especially. Because we are in the middle planet. The middle planet is in passion, upper in goodness and lower in ignorance. So we have this tendency to do things. You know, the whole scientific world, you know, the whole business world, everything is running on this principle. And sometimes it's a waste of money also. As in a few months back, we are reading about the Phoenix expedition, Mars expedition. Now they were sending this Phoenix. They named Phoenix because, you know, Phoenix is a mythical bird, you know, which came from the ashes. And it had a lifespan of, I think, 3 months. And after that, you know, it vanishes. And similarly, they constructed this the space shuttle to Mars, Phoenix, because it was from the previous remnants of the previous technology. And they spent a few billions of dollars, and it was sent, and ultimately they said it reached the Mars. However, the main purpose of the expedition was the Phoenix was supposed to stay there for 3 months, and in that 3 months it should take all the Earth, and it's not Earth, we cannot call it the Mars, from from the ground and analyze it and send a report back to the Earth. So that was the mission. So what happened was, they were able to actually take, because it is an unmanned expedition, of course, because otherwise it's a big risk of life. It could take, the robotic hands could take the sand, whatever is there, could take, and they were trying to put in the oven. So the whole experiment was like this. First they had to put in the oven and heat it up to a certain degree and then start the analyzing part. So they tried to put it in the oven, but the grill through which it should pass through, it was a bit small. So, and the sand was quite thick. So ultimately they were trying very hard to get this sand within the oven and to heat, but they couldn't do it. And you know, they tried for a couple of days, and then I was reading the article and they were telling it's an expensive mistake. Because that was the title of the article. It was very interesting. Expensive mistake, because spend billions of dollars, you know, the expedition almost went there. They're saying they got some sand, but ultimately, you know, they couldn't put in the oven and heat it up. So the whole expedition was pretty much, you know, they're still trying, you know, they were trying to shake the whole thing. And the whole problem was, this Phoenix had only life for 3 months. Because in the Mars, the sunlight is available for only 3 months, and after that it is again going to the dark side. So they had this trouble. So, we don't know what the end result. So this is how the experiments in the mode of passion, the scientific progress in the mode of passion, same with the economic progress in the mode of passion. It's quite difficult. Because if you study now, there is no guarantee that you'll get a job. Is right? Yeah, one can get a piece of paper, but there is no guarantee that one will get a job, because the economy is, you know, up and down. It was there all the time. Getting a job is difficult all the time. However, you know, now it's visible. And to maintain a job, it is so difficult. I can tell, I was working, how many years back? Five or 6 years back, you know, in the IT industry. And it was like, to keep up the job, you know, you had to work so hard. You know, people go to work, say, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and come back same time, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and weekends, you know, and sometimes overnight work. It is just, it's part of the industry. You have to work like that. Because there are always, you know, there are thousands of people to compete. You can't help out. So people just work hard. And at the end of the day, you know, quite tired, drained out, stressed, so many things. So I was speaking to my cousin, you know, he was a project manager, and he was mentioning, actually, I don't have to go on Sundays and Saturdays to my work. Because I can finish my work on Saturday, by the weekdays, I can actually finish. But to show my team, you know, that my members that, you know, I am working hard, I have to really go there. I have to go there, and at least Marty does, he goes and sends a few mails. And you know, I just walk around and, you know, show that, okay, I am here, I am working hard. Because otherwise, it's not possible, you know, others, they won't work. So, you know, to keep the job, people have to work, you know, so much of austerity. So much of austerity. Like, you know, Brahma did tapa, and we are also doing tapa in different ways. Similarly, you know, Hiranyakashipu, he also did a lot of tapa to get boon from Brahma. So similarly, to get a material boon from here, we are also performing so much of austerity. And, you know, 12 hours is quite normal now. You know, 1 hour to go, 1 hour to come back, you know, 10 hours work is like, you know, it's normal. I mean, half the day is gone. 12 hours after 24 hours is gone. Straight. And you have to handle the, you know, the pressure and the tension and the competition at the work. The politics at the work, very heavy. And what happened to the economy? Here now, there is a big job cut, you know, they are sacking so many people. If you know the company Rio Tinto, you know, Rio Tinto is the biggest mining company in the world, as well as in Australia. It's an Australian company. They have sacked 14,000 people. Heavy. You know, and the unemployment rate is, I think, 4.9% here. It's quite bad. So that is how the economic development in the mode of fashion ends. You know, there is always fluctuation. There is no guarantee, even if you get trained in a profession, there is no guarantee that you can survive in that profession. You might have to switch or find something else. And for devotees, sometimes it is quite hard sometimes. You know, devotees have to work, because devotees have to maintain, you know, especially Guhastha devotees have to work. Your students, you know, now you have to study and work, but in future you have to work. There is no other option. And then the question arises actually, you know, how to keep with the sadhana, to keep with the practice of Krishna consciousness, understanding Krishna consciousness, and how to perform good at work. The option is, you know, I can see when I was not a devotee, when I was working, you know, I can really feel the pressure, you know, the pressure from the company, the pressure from the boss, the pressure from the mates, you know, it is so huge. And for promotion, you know, for more salary, you know, one has to really, you know, really work hard and to show, spend a lot of time. But in Krishna consciousness, things are quite different. Even though we are working or when we are studying, it is completely different. The consciousness is completely different. We don't really feel that much pressure. That's for sure. It's like, you know, when I was studying, you know, I had to put quite a bit of effort. But I was making sure that, you know, I was doing my sadhana, I was doing my service, I am doing my, you know, preaching, everything. And I was giving enough time for that. And the rest of the time I was putting my effort for my studies or whatever. But, you know, at the end, we can see how Krishna helps. You know, Krishna actually helps to finish everything. And after my studies, actually, one day I went to the university and few of my colleagues, they were actually discussing. They were talking about me. They asked, you know, what are you talking about me? They were telling, when you were studying, we didn't actually find you so much stressed, or, you know, you were coming normal, you know, you were going on normal time, you know, I was not working, you know, at 12 o'clock or, you know, something like that. But we are actually feeling, because they actually didn't submit their thesis, and they were in the process of submitting their thesis, so they had the full pressure on. And they were telling, you know, how much stress are they going through. So actually, the non-devotees, they can see devotees, how they act, and they can understand that there is something in this process. They can understand, we are for sure, those who are saying, they can see we are different. There is something higher for us, no doubt, wherever we do, whatever we do. There are devotees, I knew one boy here, you know, who was working in Ford, I think, yeah, Ford. And he was, you know, working so hard, and his schedule was so much, you know, getting up for Mangalarati, chanting, finishing all the rounds. And after finishing rounds, he goes to work, during that he does his reading, and work all day. Come back 7:30, 8 o'clock every day, including Saturday. Sunday also, of course, but 6 days he was working. But he was telling, according to his mate, they were actually coming at 8 o'clock. You know, he can't get there by 8 o'clock because it's 2 hours travel from here. So he gets late a little bit, and he cannot stay as long as his mate can. Still, at the end of the day, how Krishna is helping to, you know, carry out the work. You know, how Krishna's hand he can see in everything. So that's the question of the devotees. Even though they may not be working so long, you know, as long as non-devotees, still Krishna helps and, you know, able to maintain. As Krishna says, yoga kshema vahamyaha. Krishna actually helps his devotees. He protects whatever devotees have got and gives whatever they lack. There is like one Acharya was the Arjuna Acharya. He actually doubted this word. Because it is said, yoga kshemam vahamiham. Yoga kshemam vahami means, I personally carry what they lack. So Acharya was very poor person. He didn't have any money. So he had to go out for begging every day to collect some alms. And whatever he gets, he bring home. And his wife cooks. And they offer to the Lord and they eat. This was the program, daily program. So, Arjunacharya was thinking, you know, I am finding such a difficulty, I don't have anything enough to eat. So, you know, how can I, you know, carry out? How Krishna is written in Bhagavad Gita that, you know, yogakshema vahamyaha, how he personally carries? So, he questioned, and then he described and he just marked that line, and he was trying to, you know, scribble upon that. Then he left for that day to collect some alms. And his wife was there, and then wife saw two boys coming out. One was dark and the other was, you know, quite fair. And they carried a lot of, you know, lot of footsteps, lot of stuff. And they gave, and they were very difficultly they were carrying, and they came and they gave it to Acharya's wife. And she asked, who asked you to carry so much of stuff? Okay, we need something to eat, that's different, but how can you carry so much of stuff? You know, it's too much for you. You are young kids. He said, no, your husband actually asked us to carry all the stuff and give to you. So she said, you know, how can my husband do this? How can he be so cruel? So he said, look, this is what your husband told us, so that's what you did. Anyway, we are leaving, take all these things. So they gave and they left. And a wife, this Acharya's wife, she thought, you know, I won't follow my husband's order. I will cook this, I will offer and I will eat. I won't wait for my husband, which is not appropriate according to the Vedic tradition. So she cooked, she offered and she ate and waited for her husband. So then Arjuna Acharya came in the evening and he asked, who brought all these things? So he said, you know, look, two boys came and, you know, they brought all these things. And okay, so that's how we got all this stuff. So Arjuna Acharya understood who were those two boys. He understood, yes, they were Krishna and Balaram, who personally appeared only because he doubted his statement in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna maintained his devotee. And especially now, it's very interesting because this is the time of marathon or book distribution. So if you relate to that, we can see people out, they are completely unaware of Bhagavad Gita. They are unaware of the devotion principles. We were reading in the second chapter of the same canto. It said, Durlabham Manisho Deho Dehina Kshanabhangura. That is, on one side, the human form of life is very rare. We have got this higher intelligence, one which we can avoid the entanglement of repeated birth and death. So it is called Durlabha. It is very Durlabha, it is quite rare. But at the same time, it is Kshana Bhangura. Means it's like we are having a time bomb on us. You know, any time it can burst. The human body is a nice facility. However, it can, you know, it can be destroyed at any moment of time. So Bhagavatam says it is Kshana Bhanguram. But there is something even rarer than obtaining this human body of life. That is Durlabham, what is it? Tatrabi Durlabham Manye Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam. That is, of course, to get a human form of life is rare, but even rare is to get association of devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Because from that, actually, the purpose of human form of life can be satisfied. One can get out of the miseries of the material existence. So, when we go out, actually, when we go out and distribute books, actually, we are actually giving opportunity to other people to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, to get association of the devotees. It is said in Nectar of Devotion, one cannot take up Krishna consciousness without Sukriti. Because one needs that pious devotional credit, some credit, to take to the process of devotional service. But on the other side, it is also said, the devotional service is applicable. Anyone can come to the devotional service. So actually, the devotees are actually creating Sukriti. The devotees are actually creating piety for others. People out, they don't know anything about Krishna. They don't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. They don't know even God is existing. You know, to many people, they just deny. They consider themselves as this body, whereas we are the spirit soul. So when we go out and when we meet and talk to people, and we give books, or if we just meet and if we show them book, actually they are getting that Sukriti. They are getting that pious credit, and eventually they can come up to the platform of the devotional service. So that's the reason preaching is considered very important, because we got this fortune, so we need to share it for others. It's like, you know, we got a lot of nice prasadam, and you know, we are happy to give some to others. In the same way, when we get Krishna consciousness, we give out Krishna consciousness in different ways, in the form of prasadam, in the form of knowledge, etc. So that's about it today. Thank you. Any comments or questions? Yes, bro.
Is that Shivadakshaya Vishnu?
Yeah.
Super soul? That is, he's present within everyone's heart.
Yeah.
But he's also present within every atom.
Yes.
So I have trouble understanding the distinction between the self and the heart.
Yeah, I got
it. Deeply everywhere else.
Yeah. So if you understand that fully, Shivadakshaya Vishnu as a super soul is situated in the heart of all the living entities. And to go one more level, if we consider our body, how many living entities have God in our body? It's not just one. It's not us. There are millions, maybe. I don't know how many. So many living entities. You know, it's like if you just take the, you know, maybe this water also, and if you look through the microscope, you can see millions of bacteria in it. So if you, you see, so if our, in our body, so how many souls and how many super souls are there?
Innumerable,
exactly. So that is, I'm just talking about the living entities. Now let's consider the atoms. So Shivadakshaya Vishnu is situated within the atom and outside the atom and in between the atom. So it means Shivadakshaya Vishnu is there everywhere. Everywhere. So you can't find a space where there is no Shivadakshaya Vishnu as a super soul expansion. However, it is mentioned that even though the Lord is situated everywhere, He is just one. Shivadakshaya Vishnu is one personality, though He is manifested and He is present everywhere. It is some one person. It's, the example given is that of the sun. Sun is just one, but sun is visible here in Melbourne. Sun is visible in Sydney, in India, you know, in Banaras, everywhere. Wherever you go, there is sun. But it's the same sun, but it's visible in different places. In the same way, even though Shivadakshaya Vishnu is one single person, He is manifesting, He is there in everywhere. He is there everywhere. That is it.
So, when Super Soul gives direction to the entity, does He only give direction to the human part, or the entity that's in the human part? Okay, because there's only the living entities in us.
No, ultimately, as the maintainer, He maintains everything. He is the ultimate sanction for all actions. So the action involves different factors. The living entities, where the place, you know, where it is happening, you know, in the main, the earth, you know, the whole thing, the material, the dull material matter, everything is involved in the action. So, Super Soul should sanction for everything, all the action. Ultimate sanction is Super Soul. So He has His hand, ultimate hand, He has all the action. Ultimate hand. Yes. Yes, sir.
Not even a blade of grass can move without His hand.
Yes. That's one, yeah.
Omnipresent or omnipotent?
Yes. Thank you very much. That's a three one point four three. Three level one three.
Yes, sir.
Three.